Amen. If you turn your Bibles, please, with me to 1 Thessalonians, please, the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you did not enjoy the music at our church tonight, something's bad wrong with you. How blessed are we? Thank the Lord. So much talent the Lord's blessed us with and using it for His glory. And what a blessing. And appreciate everyone, choir, everyone that plays an instrument, everyone who sings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. Well, tonight makes 15 years, been the pastor, so guess that's pretty novel. Don't happen a whole lot, unfortunately, today. So, been kind of an emotional day. A lot of ups and downs today. And but looking back in the last, it's hard to believe 15 years been pastor. Been at the church now. 25 years. Wow. That's a quarter century, man. Thank the Lord, and been able to be serving in some capacity, really, for 25 years on staff. First of all, first few summers kind of interning, and then since 97, working with children's ministries and school, and then 2004 on this night, church extended the call to be the pastor. Praise the Lord. Seen some great things God has done in the last 15 years, and thank the Lord for it. Seeing churches planted, that's exciting. Got three more that are getting near it now. That's exciting. Seeing many come to Christ. Praise the Lord for it. Many baptized. Thank the Lord for it. Had lots of battles, lots of struggles, but God has come through every time. Churches had times of financial strain, and then seeing God provide week by week through sacrifices, and seeing times that are blessed. Going through one of those times right now that the Lord's meeting the needs. We thank the Lord for it, able to do some extra things, and praise God for it. Raised my children at this church. Melissa posted some pictures of Kids Crusade years ago, recently, and when I looked at those, I thought, wow, number one, I was little, man, but I was so full of energy then. What happened? Just thank the Lord, seeing all the good memories, the buses, and I am truly thankful God's allowed me the privilege to serve at this church. I was talking to Brother Harris last Saturday, and we were having a conversation, and I told him, and we both teared up, and I cried, and told him, and he said the same, that we love this church. We're very thankful for this church. The past 15 years have been a thrill, been exciting, been a challenge, been hard. Devils hit hard. Some days of just awesome victories, and some days that were just couldn't wait to get through it and hit the next one. It's a different thing when you're the pastor. Dad always said, many years. And I used to kind of, in my mind, I never said it out loud because I knew what would happen, but when he said it, he'd say, someday you'll find out, wherever it may be, that it's different when you're in this chair. And it is. Seeing buses grow, buses drop, and buses growing again. Seeing it go through every ministry, seeing unbelievably, just things we could talk about all night. But I'm not here to, we're not going to have a history lesson tonight. Other than to say that God has been faithful. And I thank the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I was reading this week and praying about the message for tonight. This passage of Scripture reminded me, and I thought it was a good summary of these past 15 years. And I want us to look at it together. It says there, starting in verse number 1, and I'm not going to have you stand because I'm going to pause and say something every verse here, but it says in verse number 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Paul said this, that God led me here, and God had a purpose. And I'm thankful that God led me here. When I came here, don't get offended at this, but I wasn't happy about it. One of my best friends all throughout my life here tonight, Matt, and he can tell you, I wasn't excited about it. Everything that I knew in my life changing. But God had a plan. And I'm thankful that God's had a plan. I'm thankful that God has worked. That God has done some great things. And I'm thankful to be able to look back and see all that God has done and to know that it was not in vain. Verse number 2. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Thankful that God placed me here, and it was not in vain. Verse number 2, not been easy. Now, it's been awesome. It's been worth it. But it's not been easy. Gone through some really hard times, some trials. Quite frankly, I am now. And the devil loves and wants to destroy, but I'm thankful God always promises victory. It's not going to be easy. And if anyone's ever told you that the Christian life's going to be a cakewalk, they lied to you. The Bible says, "They that live godly shall suffer persecution." And I'm not saying anything that you don't know, and I'm not asking for pity. Paul said it, and I'm just repeating him, that being in a certain positions puts a target on your back from the devil. And that's why it's important to pray for your pastors. See in verse number 3 and 4 that it's a great responsibility. "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." It's a great responsibility to be placed in trust, to hold forth the word of God, and to be looked upon as pastor. That's a great responsibility. Bible teaches in Hebrews that one day, Brother Slee and myself, and I just tell you what the Bible says, we will one day give an account for the souls that walk through these doors. That's a great responsibility. That responsibility keeps you up at night. That responsibility gets you up in the middle of the night. That responsibility makes you stay a little bit later. Because God's placed us in trust of something. And by the way, it's not just us. Every Christian has been put in trust with the gospel. But it's a great responsibility. And in verse number 5 and 6, it says, "Therefore, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." I wrote down next to this, verses 5 and 6, and just try to be real. Not use flattering words, nor cloak of covetousness, nor of men sought we glory. I remember whenever we began first praying about, you know, the church extending the opportunity to be pastor to me, and you know, I first Sunday that I preached, quote unquote, candidating, I said, I'm not trying, I can't impress you. I'm like trying to sell you your own used car, man, you know? I'd already been here. You already knew who I was, what I did, and how I am. And that's not very impressive. But I think it's important that you just try to be real. When going through something, great times, try to share it. Going through burdens, try to share it. When I don't know the answer, I've tried to tell you. When I know the answer, I've tried to share it in love. Just try to be real. Not try to hurt anybody, but try to love people. Verse number 7, to be kind, gentle, and loving. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished the children. I think it's God's will that we do learn to be kind to each other. And treat each other gently, lovingly. I wish I could tell you I've succeeded 100% of the time, but I'm sure I haven't. But it's been my goal and desire to pastor with gentleness, kindness, and love. Sometimes that comes across as being maybe too friendly, too kind, and maybe not, you know, making people do things or something, but you have to understand is being a pastor, I believe with all my heart, you know, if you run everybody off, that's not what a pastor does. Pastor has to take a stand, but he speaks the truth as Jesus did in love. And yeah, probably been, you know, trust me, I've heard it. You've told me, you know, I wish you'd do this. Or I wish you'd tell them, or I wish you'd, well, in the words of my father, it's different when you're in this chair. You understand that you're here for one purpose. People. Verse number 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I don't know what everybody classifies your best years as, but I'm pretty sure I'm on the other end of that. Not that I still don't have some awesome years ahead of me, right? Where's Mrs. Jones? I'm still young, still going strong, Mrs. Jones, all right? But I do look back at those pictures that Melissa posted, and I used to be a lot stronger and a lot quicker and a lot more energetic and be going a lot less sleep. And I can say, and I'm not, again, asking for any pity, just thanking God that I can truly say this, that I have poured out my life to the ministry God's given me. I've tried to give everything, and I will continue to try to give everything. Because, the answer's in this verse, because you're dear unto me. Because I love each and every one here tonight. Love you more than you'll ever understand. And I thank God for you. I'm thankful to be able to pour my life out. I'm thankful for that opportunity. Brother Slee's been at this church longer than me, and I know he feels it the same way, that it's a privilege to pour your life out to the ministry. It's an honor. To our young men tonight, if God were ever to call you into the ministry, I'm telling you this, it's the greatest honor and privilege that you could ever have, serving God in the ministry. What regrets do you have in surrendering to God? None. Zero. I didn't say I don't have any regrets. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. more than I ever wished to share. But so have you. But I have no problem saying that I'll be willing to pour out my life. Because you see in this passage of Scripture three responsibilities. And I want you to see it in the next few verses. Of why, last 15 years, been willing to pour out your life. And by the way, it's not a message about Travis Berg. This should be every one of ours reality tonight. Of why we all ought to be willing to serve God. Because we all have the same three responsibilities. And I want us to see them tonight. Number one, in verse number 9, we have a responsibility to the lost. It says in verse number 9, 4. Now again, it says, we've been willing to impart it unto you, the gospel of God, and also our own souls. 4. Ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You and I have a responsibility to the lost. You and I have a responsibility to do our best to reach the lost. In doing that, you see in this verse that number one, it takes labor. It says, ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. The idea with labor and travail is just like, you know, a child being born. The labor and travail that is there. It is intense. It can be painful. But as every mother will attest, it's worth it. There's hard times. It takes sacrifice. Because we've been put in trust with the gospel, we have a responsibility to those that aren't saved to work hard in reaching them. A lot of times we forget that as Christians and we just want to kind of put our feet back in our lawn chairs and sit back and roast a marshmallow and think, well, I'm going to heaven. This is great. God expects us to put some effort into reaching people. So when there's long days and long nights, that's fine because we have a job to do. We have a motivation in reaching lost people. We should do our best to give and to be exhausted in trying to give. You know, it's a busy schedule, especially when school starts. I'm so glad Brother Price is here now. It's going to be awesome, all right? But, you know, it's been a, last few years especially, been very, very, Matt's been trying to take me out for dinner for like 6 months, and I haven't been able to do it yet, all right? So, it's we're busy. And that's awesome. Because we have a job to do. When church becomes about me being entertained and what I, you know, and how people are making me feel happy and pleased, you got the wrong purpose. Church is for one reason, to prepare us to go out into the field and work. You're not amen in any, but that's the truth. Every one of us. To go out and do our best, and whatever God leads you to do that, again, not everyone can do every ministry, but everyone should be busy in trying to reach people. And how whatever avenue God allows you to do that, but to reach others, because this is an eternal work, and it takes labor. We have a responsibility to the lost, therefore it requires labor, and there's a liability there. Look again in verse number 9. It says, we labor and travail for our laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. Ezekiel chapter number 33, you don't have to turn there, verses 1 to 6, though, talks about the fact that if we fail to blow the trumpet and people die because we fail to blow the trumpet, their blood's on our hand. Now, if we sound the warning and people don't respond to that, well, the blood's on their own hand. And it's easy to see the application that we have been given the truth, we've been given the gospel, and we have a liability. And I think it's time that we, again, stop and meditate on that we as a church have a responsibility towards the lost. And it's going to take work. We talked about it last Sunday night. They that sow in tears. There's some sowing. There's some breaking up of ground. There's going out, and there's working hard. But there is a liability there. I and you should not want to be chargeable to anyone. When someone walks in these doors, we don't know them. We ought to start praying for them. We ought to go out of our way to try to reach them. Those people that God brings into our life, that God says, hey, speak to them. We are going to be chargeable before God for them. And it should make us want to reach one more and do more, to do our very best. May it never be said that someone can sit in this church and not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that does happen in churches out there. They're taught how to have a good time and how to, you know, be happy and have, you know, be self-motivated and all these different things. But we need to preach the gospel. Because our lesson is simply this, again in verse number 9, we don't want to be chargeable, that we preach unto you the gospel of God. The greatest message we could ever share is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility to the lost. Why has the last 15 years been so great? Because we have a responsibility to the lost. For that reason, I pray we send out more missionaries. And I'm thankful for those who have gone out. For that reason, I love our visitation program and our bus ministry and our nursing home. For that reason, I'm so thankful for our junior church and our Sunday school. I'm thankful for these ministries, our kids' crusade, camp. We don't do all these things because we'd be bored if we had nothing else to going on, all right? We do it because we have a responsibility to the lost, to try to reach them. But there's a second responsibility in verse number 10. That's a responsibility to the believer. It says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So Paul said, I'm thankful that God has placed me here, that he didn't make a mistake. It's not been easy, Paul said. We've had sacrifices. We've worked hard because we have a great responsibility. We've just tried to be real. We've said it and tried to be gentle and kind. And we've poured out our lives, our souls unto you. Why? Because we have a responsibility to reach the lost, and we have a responsibility to you that believe. He says again in that verse that he lived a certain way for those who believe. You and I, I'm about to say this real quick, how we live, it matters. How we live matters to God. Now, I would love to be able to look at you tonight and say that for 15 years, I've never failed you. But why, what a lie that would be, man. I could go around this auditorium tonight, but I don't want to be all sad. So I could go around the auditorium and look at every one of you in the eye and tell you how I failed you. And you could, I'm sure, tell me too. But let's not focus on that, all right? I'm sure I have. I told you years ago, preaching one night, I said, how many of you are offended at me right now? No one raised their hand. And then I said this, I don't know if you remember. I said, you will be. There will come a day that I will do something you don't agree with, or I handled it the wrong way. And if I haven't done that yet, I will. I'm trying not to. But you can't help it, the Bible says. Offenses will come. And I don't care how we are. Sometimes we're going to see things maybe two different ways. And I know I've let some of you down. The devil loves to whisper in the ears of anyone, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, junior church, whether you're a bus worker. I don't even know how many Goshen had today. But on our route, when we first picked up, all of a sudden no one was coming. And I was like, I looked at Brother Chad and I said, well, I'll be honest, this is discouraging. He said, yes, it is. I was like, thanks, Brother Chad, for encouraging me, brother. All right? Sometimes the devil just whispers in your ear, you're a loser. I've talked a lot to Brother Harris lately. we have like this weekly Marco Polo meeting on Saturdays, and but we don't know what that is. I'll explain it to you later. But he was sharing with me about years when he first got to Magdalena that he was convinced that he had failed. Because that's how the devil tries to get in all of our heads. Because we do have a responsibility to our believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the Bible says, look at verse number 10 again. Ye are what? What's that mean? That means this. Paul said, you've watched me. Right? That's what a witness does. He sees it. He said, you're witnesses. You have watched my life. You've watched my life, Paul said, and I understand that I have a responsibility. And Paul is the first one. We can read it in other passages of scriptures. He said, there were times I knew what I should do and I didn't. And times I shouldn't do certain things and I did them. And I would say the same thing, and so would you if you're honest tonight. That none of us are perfect and we all fail at times, but that shouldn't change the fact that we have a responsibility to each other. And we forget that sometimes in the church, that sometimes we get offended and we get our feathers all ruffled up and we think, well, I'm just going to leave, or I'm just going to go somewhere else, or I'm just going to do this, or, you know, I don't like the way they handled this. If God placed you here, you dare not leave until God tells you where to go. So I got offended. Well, take this the right way and know I love you. I've tried to establish that. Ready? Get over it. I mean, you get offended at Myers every time you go there because they never open up enough cash registers. Can I get an amen, right? They have like 32 cash registers and they got 3 open. And the lines are blocking, right? Yeah, right? See, I'm bitter at Myers, right? But guess what? I go back. Kroger's charges too much for their meat, but I keep going back. We get offended. You go to the bank, right? And they sometimes, this one lady one time, I had to go in. You have no idea the trials I go through trying to help my father handle his money, right? Right? I had to go to a bank one time, 4 times in one day to say, I got to switch this back. He decided to do this. Because my dad, when he gets an idea, he's going to do it, right? And so I had to go, all right, we got to transfer it from this account to this account, all right? And the lady, the last time I went in, she goes, you again? Now, I was already frustrated at my dad. So I just said, sorry I offended you, and I walked over into Melissa's office, the lady that's in charge of the bank. I said, if you don't want me to come back, I won't, because she's really frustrated at me. And it worked out really well. They treated me great for like 2 weeks, all right? But I got offended at the bank. But I went back. You get offended everywhere you go. I promise at work you've got offended. But you keep going back. But for some reason, when something happens at church, it's like, I'm finding a new one, right? Well, why don't you instead say, what does God want to teach me through this? Because we have a responsibility to each other. And by the way, if you do have a problem with someone else in the auditorium, you ought to go to them and get it right tonight. I think it was the last time Brother Harris preached here, he stood up here and he started out the message. Don't you remember that? That awkwardness? Don't you love? Brother Harris is the king of awkwardness, man. Sometimes you feel like, I remember, you know, I've always felt like every time he was preaching, he'd pause and stare at me. Like, turning your Bibles to Psalms. I was like, I'm there, right? He still does that, right? The last time he got up here and he preached, remember, he was just like, before I started the message, I don't know if anybody has any problem with me. That was awesome. I was just like, yeah, this is cool, right? And it's wise. Because the Bible tells us what to do. If someone's offended you, go to them. Because if you don't go to them, it stirs. It builds. So he said, I have a responsibility to my believers, to you. Look what his responsibility was. Number one, to live holily. Don't say that word every time. Matter of fact, it's the only time we find it in the Bible. Holily. But that means reverently before God. In other words, God is watching me, so I want to live a life that is holy, that pleases Him. Christian, every believer should want to live a holy life. He said, I am to live reverently before God and then righteously before man, justly. I should live my life in a way that people can see that I'm different, that I'm a believer, that I am God's child. And then I ought to live respectfully before all. It says unblameable. Unblameably we behaved ourselves. But we ought to live our life in a way that pleases God, that is just and fair to other people and points other people to God and not away from God. Every one of us ought to strive to live that life. And by the way, we have a responsibility to do that for each other. We have an obligation to live that way before each other. Because God deserves it. That's why we live holy. Because man needs it. That's why we live justly. Because it encourages others and doesn't push them away. That's why we ought to live unblameably. So we live our life with these responsibilities. Number one, a responsibility to the lost. Number two, a responsibility to other believers, which demands that we live a holy, just, righteous life. And then number three, we have a responsibility to God. Verse number 12 and 13. Again, responsibility to the lost, responsibility to other believers. Verse 12 and 13, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We have a responsibility to God. Now, I'm going to preach to me. This is what God told me, and you're welcome to listen to this, all right? But my responsibility to God in verse number 11 was to preach. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. I like those three words that are used. A pastor should have times of exhortation. Say, what is that? That's giving people strength. You ought to be able to come to church and find strength, maturity. I am a terrible entertainer. You know, if you're looking for a church that will entertain you, I'm awful at it. I'm just awful. I'm not one-on-one. I'm pretty good telling jokes. I wrote the puppet script. That was pretty funny, right? You know, that kind. But to get up here and just put on a show, I just can't. It drives me crazy, actually, when pastors do that. You know, they get up here and tell 17 stories and 37 jokes and then, oh yeah, let me read a verse, right? And it's just like, we don't need that, right? We need the Word of God. Because you ought to be able to come to church and find strength, because guess what? We all need it. Especially in this world that we live in today, we need all the help we can get. Because I don't know about you, but you get weary. You get weary and you begin to faint in mind, the Bible says. So we need to come to church so we can get some strength. That's the exhorting. Then you see comfort. That's the sympathy. You ought to be able to come to church when you're hurting and find healing. The church ought to be a place where you can find a balm. God has seemingly done that quite often in the last few years, that there's been some that, you know, have been hurt in some other places, and they've been able to come and sit in our pews and be healed. I'm thankful for that. A church ought to be a place for healing. A church ought to be a place where you can get your strength back. You know what? And a lot of this stuff I've had to learn, right? You know, I was talking to my cousin yesterday. We had my grandma's birthday party. And so we're all, my mom's side of the family, we're all sitting there together, and my cousin's just been pastoring a few years, and he said some things, you know. He said, I'm trying not to offend anybody. I'm trying to, and he said some things. I said, I looked at him, he goes, because I've just been pastoring a few years now. I was like, you'll get over that. But no, we were joking, but the fact is this, that we're here for people. And we ought to be able to reach out. Because I remember, you know, especially where I went to college, it's true, you know, like, just slap people in the face, they'll be all right, right? You know, I wish I was kidding. It's just be a man, grow up, go on, right? Suck it up, right? It's just, you know, and sometimes people need a hug. Sometimes people just need to be loved on. You ought to be able to come to church and find that. Now you find strength, that's the exhorting. You find comfort, that's the sympathy. But also you find a charge. Something to spur you on. It says there, and as you know in verse 11, I exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. The word there, you can look it up, right? It's the Greek word there is elektro, right? Elektro or something like that. I don't speak Greek, but you get the idea. Electricity, right? Y'all don't get it. Koi, stick your finger in one of these plugs and they'll get it, all right? All right? You'll get it, what that word means, right? To charge you up. To get you excited. And a pastor's responsibility before God. Understand this, before God. It says, in verse number 11, as you know how we exhorted and charged, exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children that you would walk worthy of God. This is our responsibility to God, to exhort and to comfort and to charge. By the way, because we love you, as a father doth his children. So a responsibility I have is to preach, and then to teach a principle in verse number 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. This is one thing we've preached against around here, is this man worship. I hate man worship. Because even the best of men are men at best. We try to teach a principle. Why should these kids have standards? Why do we not allow them to do certain things? Why do we preach against it? That they can make Brother Burke proud of them. Nope. Because that's the way Brother Burke sees it. Nope. I hope that they understand this and every member of this church understands this, that we ought to live the right kind of life because God is worthy of that kind of life. It's about His honor and His glory. Because Travis Burke will pass away one day. Rick Salee will pass away one day. We've had some other great pastors in this church. Praise God for every one of them. But I, like they, will pass away one day. Someone else will stand behind this pulpit. May it be said that this church doesn't do right for Bill Webb or for Ted Woody or for Rick Williams or for Wayne Burke or for Travis Burke. That we learn the secret to everything is that we do all that we do for the glory of God. And when that's our motivation, then everything changes. Because Travis Burke has failed you, and Wayne Burke has failed you, and Rick Williams has failed you, and Ted Woody has failed you, and Bill Webb has failed you. But God will never fail you. When it's your motivation to live for He that is worthy of that, you'll never run out of motivation. So we preach, and we have a principle, and we see the power. And we're done. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God. The secret to everything, the secret to the power of this church, whether this church goes on for another 60 years, if this church continues to send out more missionaries and plant more churches, start more bus routes. This church goes on and continues to hold the line on doctrine and holy life. It will not be because of a charismatic preacher. It will not be because someone who knows how to tell good stories or even is a really good preacher. It will be because we as a people listened not to the word of men. But every time this book is opened, we're not listening to Travis Burke, and we're not listening to Rick Salee, and we're not listening to whoever stands up here. But we understand this book, this is God's word. And when we receive the preaching and the teaching as not the words of men, but the word of God, which, as Paul said, in the truth, it is. Paul said, again, look at a verse. He said, we have without ceasing, you received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Paul said, you heard it from me, but you didn't receive it from me. Everybody see the difference? Tonight, if you leave here tonight having gotten something tonight, not because Travis Burke's a good speaker, probably fell flat on my face, but because you sat tonight and you listened, what does God's word say to me tonight? And you receive it as the word of God. This is, don't forget, God's word. And when we receive this book as the truth it is, the word of God, I love how the verse ends, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we receive this book and the preaching of it, as this is God's word, then the work goes on. Not just goes on, but it effectually goes on. It accomplishes something. Thankful for the last 15 years. I don't know what God will have in the next 15 years. But I know this, that if this church will follow this book, and every time this book is open, receive this book as it is in truth, the word of God, then God's work will go on, and it will go on effectually. Souls will be saved. Families will be helped. Homes will be restored. Lives will be rebuilt. The unlovable will find love. The rejected will find a home. The hurting will find a hug. When we receive this as God's word. You know what that means? That when I see it, I do it. I'm teaching in a nursing home services on what prayer is. And the Lord giving us this model prayer. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will on earth as it is in heaven. You know how God's will is done in heaven? Hey, Gabriel, come here. Guess what he does? He comes right there. Can you imagine Gabriel saying, just a second, God, I'm finishing up something. I'll be with you in about 5 minutes, right? Not a chance. If God tells all the host of heaven to stand, they stand. God's will may be done here on earth in our lives just like it is in heaven. How will that happen? When we see this book as not the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, then God will effectually work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your